When my daughter was about 2 or 3, we first realized that she was somewhat of a social butterfly, meaning that in social settings, she would tend to flit from person to person to person. She wanted to see everybody and talk to everybody. And so much so that often, if we were in social settings, it could interfere with her ability to rest. I remember once we were driving home from a family gathering. There'd been a room full of people, and we'd been eating and talking and having fun, and Abby had just loved being in the middle of it. On the way home, as her parents, we were hoping that the car ride and her being held motionless by a 5-point harness in her car seat would perhaps persuade her to close her eyes and perhaps dream. But it was not to be so. We looked in the back seat at our 3-year-old, who was holding her eyelids open so they would not close on her and betray her in case something happened. She wanted to be awake for it. We don't rest well. Oftentimes in our society, in our culture, we tend to admire and elevate those people who seem to be able to do everything, right? We see these people who are up at 6 a.m., they're at the gym, and then they're showered, and they got the kids ready for school, and they made their lunch, and they're off to school, and they're off to work their full-time job where they excel at it, and they're just amazing, and they get off work, and they pick up the kids, and they make dinner, and they clean the house, and they re-roof the garage, and by 9 o'clock, they're sitting on the couch with their spouse, a glass of wine in hand, and my, what a lovely day. And we see people that can do that, and we think, that's what I want to attain. I want to be able to go non-stop. But that's not good for us. It's not healthy. It is an unrealistic expectation that we lift up, that we seek to emulate. Did you know that for the last 40 years, they have done studies where they have seen what countries in the world do the most with their time off? And what they found is that Americans particularly, more than half, in the last study that was done in 2017, it was 54%. 54% of American workers do not take all of their paid time off. They don't use all of their paid vacation. We don't rest. We go and go and go and go. There's always one more thing that needs to get done. We never pause. We never stop. We never rest. Like my toddler daughter in the back seat, propping her eyes open should something happen if she's not there. We think we must continually and perpetually keep our shoulder to the wheel, our nose to the grindstone. And it is to our detriment. For we miss a chance in rest to reconnect with the God of creation. Our scripture this morning tells us we were formed from the ground. Genesis tells us the story of our creation at God's hands, that God drew us up from the dust, formed us from the clay, drew us up on it, and formed us in God's image to be. After bringing about all of creation, God reaches into it and pulls us to being, reaches into the horizontal plane of creation, into the earth, and shapes us into humanity. We are created, and off we run to be, to exist, to live. But God immediately recognizes that there's a problem, because we will run until we drop. We are going to keep going and not have the common sense that God blessed all of the rest of creation with. So God says, I'm going to give you an example. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude, and on the 7th day, God finished the work that he had done, and God rested on the 7th day from all the work that God had done. We read that story in Genesis and we take it at its face value, that God got done with creation and God needed a break. God was tuckered out. He was sleepy. He was worn out. The God of all creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we believe that God needed a nap. God didn't need a nap. God needed to give us an example. Because God looked at us and said, they're going to just keep going and going and drive themselves back into the dirt that I pulled them out of. I need to give them something so they'll understand. So God said, look, on the seventh day, we rest. We stop. We pause. And we simply be in the creation that we are a part of. They have these electric cars now that are really amazing. No gas in them at all. They're completely electric. You may have seen at Hy-Vee, I know they've got some of those ports for the electric cars where they can stop. Because the great thing about electric cars is they can go for hundreds of miles. They can go and go and go and go, but eventually you got to stop and plug them back in. Right? Because that battery is going to run down eventually, and unless you like walking, you need to stop and recharge it. You gotta plug it back into its power source so it can get full again. We're the same way. Rest is the same thing for us. When we stop and rest, when we lie down, when we are prone, we are once again in line with the earth, with the very creation that we were drawn from. We return to the position we were in when God first pulled us from the dirt, first formed us from the clay. And in that position, lying in close proximity, lying parallel to the creation from which we were drawn, we reconnect on a spiritual level with our power source, with our God. Think of it in this way. How many times have you had a day that has wrecked and worried you, and you've gotten to the end of that day and you've laid down in your bed and you've gone to sleep, and somewhere in the night, you don't remember what it was, not a particular dream you had, but when you woke up the next morning, you felt different. You felt as though, okay, now I can face that. Somewhere in the night, as we lay there, lay again in close proximity to creation, we were dwelling in the Spirit of God. Our batteries were refilled a little bit. In a moment of rest, we are back to the beginning, awaiting God's hands pulling us back into being. And in that moment, when we truly pause and are just a part of God's creation, our breathing slows, our heartbeat slows down, our muscles untense and relax, our brains slip into neutral. We just be for a moment. I wasn't kidding about what I talked about with the kids. FOB is my favorite part of camp. Without a doubt, it is my favorite time. Because when I'm at camp with the kids out in Tulloch, I have a great time, but I'm always on the go. From 6:30 in the morning till about 11:30 at night, I am moving. I am always planning the next thing. What I tell directors that I train is that the director is always concerned with what comes next. What happens next? Where are we going next? What are we doing next? What do we need next? My counselors are concerned with the right now. They're concerned with the kids and the activity they're in right now. But I know that that activity is going to end in 17 minutes and we got to go to something else. So I, as a director, I'm always thinking about what's next, what's next, what's next. And I'm always moving ahead of them, getting that ready, so that camp can move smoothly from thing to thing. We can get to the end of the day, put the kids in bed, and then we can finally lay down. FOB is an oasis in the middle of my afternoon at Tall Oaks. It is a moment when I can lay down, I can recharge, I can refocus, and I can get ready for whatever comes next. We need rest. We need it desperately because it allows us a simple time to commune with God, to simply be with God, to dwell in God's presence. And our hearts and spirits are filled by that presence. This is what prepares us for what comes next. This is what readies us for the next day. God knew when God rested on the seventh day that the eighth day was coming. And we'd have something to do, so we had to stop and rest. This rest mandated by God to us is essential to our being in order to fulfill God's promise and potential in us. We must rest. When I was growing up, my grandfather, actually both of my grandfathers were farmers. Farmers understand something integral in the land, in the rhythm of the earth, in the seasons that change, and what it takes to draw forth good, delicious food from dirt. The earth has cycles and seasons, and in those, there is a time to rest, a time when the land shuts down, when it recharges, when it reconnects with all of creation. My mother's father, Grandpa Al, was without a doubt one of the hardest working men I ever knew. I cannot remember being on his farm, being around him when he was not working, except on Sunday. When Sunday came around, he would get up, he would go downstairs. His shower was in the basement because Grandma's bathroom was pretty. So he'd go down to his shower and he'd get ready, he'd shave, and he'd put on, it was the only day I ever saw him wear a suit. He'd put his suit on. He'd come up. Grandma would get ready in her pretty bathroom. And we'd go to church. After church, we had a lunch. And then he would sit in his recliner. He'd watch the ball game. General, didn't matter what it was. He wasn't going to see all of it anyway. Right? Because he was going to fall asleep about a third of the way into it in his recliner. Evening would come around. We'd have dinner. For dinner, we got to use the TV trays in the living room. Right? And Sunday evenings were reserved for Hee-Haw and Maverick reruns. But he never worked on Sunday. As hard a working person as he was, all the effort he put in a lifetime of drawing food from the earth, Sundays were Sabbath. Sunday was the day when we rest. We don't do work on Sundays. I have been blessed for 7.5 years to be your pastor. And now I am going to take a Sabbath. I am going to take a rest to slow down and to reconnect and to recharge and to renew. This moment is an amazing opportunity and blessing. And I must thank you all for it. Most especially, I want to thank the members of the Pastoral Relations Committee, those who have been on it and rotated off, those that have come onto it. The last 2.5 years, they have had to do a lot of work. We had to plan. We had to learn. We had to figure this thing out. I want to thank the board members who listened to this journey, and who participated in it, and who allowed it to happen. To the congregation who supported it and planned for it. Thank you all so much. I realize the sacrifice this is for the church. And I am honored and humbled that you would share with me in this journey. I need a rest. This last Friday was my regular day off. I'm usually off on Fridays. I was doing some work around the house. I had to redo some of the labels on the dividers in my comic book collection. Hey, it takes time. My wife's not going to help me with it. I better do it. But I also made the grocery shopping list, and I went out and did the grocery shopping and had to pick up a couple other things while I was out. And I got home, I cleaned our kitchen because I was going to do a bunch of cooking yesterday. We have some family in today, and I wanted to cook, so I had to clean my kitchen first. So I cleaned the whole kitchen, swept and mopped and all that stuff. And about 4 o'clock, my 20-year-old daughter got home, and she said, "Hey, does today feel like the first day of your sabbatical?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Well, Abby," I said, "so far today," I said, "I've had 5 or 6 email conversations with people at the church." I said, while I was picking out produce in the grocery store, I was having a 10-minute conversation with Alan Watts about how to spell someone's name, and neither one of us was sure who was right.
He was wrong.
I realized that later as well. I said, "I'm still doing stuff." I said, "The whole time I was out today driving around running my errands, I said, I'm reworking my sermon in my head because I'm thinking about, well, how do I want to say this? How do I want to say that?" I said, I said, "Even though I'm off today," I said, I'm still the pastor. I said, "I'm still doing stuff for the church today." I said, "The sabbatical will be different. I'll be completely unplugged from that. This sabbatical will allow me to truly rest, to disconnect from our routine and schedule together and just be. Allow my body to rest, my brain to unplug, my spirit to be filled. And I need this rest. It's important. As we continue to journey together as pastor and church, this is important. You need a rest as well from me. I am overbearing. I am demanding. I can force my perspective on others, and you need a break from that. You need a chance to hear a different voice, to hear a different perspective, a chance to pause, a moment to step back and reconsider and reconnect as well, so that when we come back together for Advent this year, we can start the new year together refreshed and rejuvenated, recommitted to being God's presence in this community, in this world, re-inspired to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. That is why we are taking this rest, this pause, this sabbatical together, so that when we restart our relationship as pastor and church in 4 months, we can strive to be that church that God is calling us to be, strive to be those disciples that Jesus is calling us to be, strive to be the people of God that this community needs us to be. Thank you for this from the bottom of my heart. I love you, and I will miss you, most of you. I'm kidding, all of you. And I will come back to you rested and ready for what God has next for us.